on that rugby anthem there from New Zealand's Hayley Westenra to introduce the next story from Sue Ahern. Now, if you like rugby and life on the farm, then you'd probably be interested in our next story. Pete Lewis is director of a new company called Rural and Rugby Tours. He's taking Australians to watch some of the world's best rugby and at the same time to visit some of the most successful beef, cattle, sheep, cropping, citrus, wine and olive operations in the world. The destination? South America. Sue Ahern spoke to Pete Lewis about his new venture.
Peter Lewis, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
It's lovely to be back on the wireless.
Right, well, back on the wireless, we should say from the very start that you and I are former colleagues from the ABC over many years, and maybe that's why you've got this interest in rural and rugby tours.
Look, I, like you, I guess, had the great privilege and the great benefit of combining a fair bit of travel with my journalism, and it was as a result of a trip that I did to South America in 2013 to attend a congress of the International Federation of Agricultural Journalists. They have one every year in a different country every year, and 2013 it was in Argentina, and it certainly whetted my appetite for the possibility of showing other people, you know, the way that they do their agriculture, and it's such a fascinating place, and it's kind of off the main beaten track for a lot of, particularly for a lot of farmers, but certainly, you know, for a lot of Australians. So when the opportunity came up to combine, you know, small group farm study tours and a bit of sport, you know, it was an idea that was pitched to me that I thought, well, yeah, this interests me on all sorts of levels, and I'm a bit of a foodie as well. So the beef and the wine in that part of the world is terrific. So they're just like, it works on so many levels, I think. And we've worked it up to the point now where we're ready for our first tour in at the end of March.
So where will you take people?
Well, the idea is we'll fly into Buenos Aires, which is, you know, one of the more interesting cities in the world, I think. And agriculture plays an enormous role in the Argentinian economy, and Uruguay, which is the other country we'll be visiting. So, yeah, a couple of days in Buenos Aires to get our bearings, and then we hit the road. We're going to visit one of the biggest, if not the biggest, livestock selling centres in South America, which is the Mataderos markets in the suburbs of Buenos Aires, and then we'll hit the road and we'll head up to another really interesting city of Rosario, and we'll be looking at cropping, a whole range of different crops, some citrus production, and then we're going to head over into Uruguay to really drill down into their beef industry, which has a remarkable number of similarities with the Australian industry. And some interesting contrast, but the breeds are very similar. The outlook and the herd improvement, all those kinds of things are very similar to what we do. And like Australia, they individually electronically identify every animal, so that there is a trace back mechanism, really, from paddock to plate. So they're in the kind of the same headspace and marketplace that Australian farmers are at. So we figured that would be, you know, people always like to know what their significant competitors are up to, and that's one of the drawing points of the tours. And we do that, so we're basically on the road for 5 or 6 days, and we arrive back in Buenos Aires in time for another little milestone in Australian rugby, which is the first Australian Super Rugby team playing on South American soil. And quite fortuitously enough, it's the Queensland Reds, which is the team I support, and obviously the overwhelming proportion of farmers in Queensland are right behind them as well. So they play in Buenos Aires on March the 25th, and that'll be a terrific moment for the Reds and their supporters, and it'll be a really terrific way to bring the tour to a climax.
Sounds like you've got it planned around those dates pretty well.
Yeah, well, it worked out. We did a little bit of a recce late last year, in October last year, and we wanted to firm up, you know, some relationships and with tour people there, and we really came away extremely impressed with what we'll be able to show people. We deliberately want to keep the tours to, you know, a relatively small number of people, so, you know, it'll be probably no more than a dozen. And may well end up in the first one being a few less than that. But that way, I think we can give everybody a really good experience. They'll be able to spend, you know, a lot of time with the farmers, and we'll be meeting the men and women that are actually, you know, making all this work. We'll be travelling with people who are, you know, significant beef and sheep buyers and are involved in these agricultural, you know, the supply chain at every level, and meeting some really interesting characters, many of whom have had some relationship with Australia and New Zealand over the years, because they look to countries like ours for, you know, the genetics to improve their herds and the way that, you know, Australia and New Zealand have organised themselves, particularly in livestock terms, you know, in beef, sheep and dairy. And so there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of synergies already from their point of view. And I think the Australians and that we take on these tours will be quite surprised to the extent that these people have knowledge about, you know, what goes on Australian New Zealand farms. So I think that'll be a good thing as well. And we're hoping through this that, you know, we can develop, you know, some tours that come the other way. We want to bring some people from there here for our significant agricultural events, you know, the royal shows and the big beef expositions and things like that. And there is a fascination, I've got to tell you, among all of them there and all the people that we met with, you know, farming the outback. They really can't get there. I mean, Uruguay, for example, is a postage stamp sized country, and you can sort of drive across it, you know, in 3 or 4 hours. So to tell them that, you know, from one side of the country to the other is 4,500 K, and that people are actually farming what they perceive to be, you know, desert areas, is really does pique their imagination. And we're really hoping to set up a lot of two-way, you know, stuff through there. And, you know, South America is the first step, but we certainly want to do the same model with the same sort of approach into countries that are also pretty keen on rugby union, like New Zealand, like South Africa, and you know, the Rugby World Cup's coming up in Japan in a few years. So I think there'll be a considerable amount of interest in you know, Australians wanting to get out and about and do some, you know, do some farm touring and combine it with some sport. So yeah, our mission statement is that, you know, it's where food for thought meets sport. So we hope that that'll all work out, you know, pretty well.
Are you attracting mainly farmers, or is there interest from city folk as well?
Look, there have been the people who've kind of signed up already are all people who've got properties, but they have family and friends and so forth in the Big Smoke. And of course, agriculture now, you know, a good deal of the jobs that are generated in it, our jobs are based downtown. So yeah, no, we are open to it. It's been, because it's come on so quickly, we've put the tour together pretty quickly, and, you know, obviously the match is pretty early in the Super Rugby round, that, you know, a lot of people obviously make their international travel arrangements, you know, fair way out. So we've caught a few people on the hop. So it's people who, you know, have the opportunity to be able to get away at that time of year. It's we've heard from a number of people saying, you know, if it was a little bit later in the year, if it was June, July, or, you know, August, September, it kind of, you know, really, you know, depends on, you know, how they can, you know, get away for a week or two. And because it is so far, and because, you know, making a decision about going to somewhere like South America, generally we'd encourage people, if they're in that neck of the woods, to see a little bit more of it and go, you know, beyond our tour and take some others. And, you know, for instance, you know, go and see other parts of Argentina, whether it's Patagonia or out to Mendoza, which is the home of their marvellous Malbec wine, or, you know, go north to the Iguazu Falls on the Brazilian border. And you know, or just, you know, skip across the Andes to somewhere like Chile or Peru. So it's, you know, having gone 14 hours, having flown all that distance, we think you'd be mad not to maybe add a little bit more time, another week or so, and see another dimension to South America. But yeah, we'd certainly like to be in a position to encourage people to do that. But as I say, you've got to have the time, and you've got to have it to be able to plan it out. So we're hoping with a little bit more time, we'll get a greater uptake in some of our subsequent tours.
How can people contact you? Where can they go? Have you got a website they can find out more details?
Pete.ruralrugbytours@gmail.com and just through directly, you know, contacting me by phone, which is 0408-722-113.
And that was Sue Ahern speaking with Pete Lewis.